Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Michelle Marchant Johnson from the Ready for the Right Guy Global Virtual Gathering, and I am so excited and so thrilled to have you here. So before we officially get started, I just want to do a really quick check-in and make sure that you can hear us okay, because I want you to hear everything that happens tonight. So if you are listening on the webcast, can you kindly just send us a little message and let us know that you can hear us? So it'll take a second for us to refresh, and then we'll be ready to start. Just send me a little message and let me know you can hear us. Let's see. Oh, yay! You can hear us. Okay, great. So again, welcome officially to the Manathon. This is the opening event of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Virtual Gathering. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson, for tonight's event and for the entire series. And I am thrilled and honored to have you here. And I'm thrilled and honored to have three amazing male experts who are going to be answering all of your big questions about men, love, dating, and relationships. They are all awesome and have so much wisdom to share with you, and we are going to have so much fun tonight. And I want to compliment you for being here, because the fact that you are here means that you are an exceptional woman. You're the kind of woman that wants to learn, grow, and enjoy a deeper understanding of men, and enjoy better communication, and experience love with the right man. And believe me when I tell you, not everyone takes time in their schedule to make the space for something like this. So the fact that you're here is a compliment to you, and we're deeply honored to have you. So before I introduce you to our wonderful male experts, and we get started tonight, I just want to give you a really brief overview of the summit and what's coming over the next couple of weeks. And then I'll give you a little bit of an overview about what we're going to be doing on this event. And then we'll go right into introducing our wonderful three male experts and start taking your questions and answers. Also, before I forget, if you are listening on the webcast, underneath the button that you're listening from, there's a little box where you can submit questions. And I will be fielding questions throughout this event. We've already had some submitted, and those will be the questions that I will be giving to our male experts. Some of you have been submitting questions in advance, but I wanted to let you know how to do that. If you're dialing in by phone, you can also email them to me at Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, at lovelifecoaching.com, and I'll be checking there as well. So you can get your questions submitted either way. So just a little bit of an overview about the Ready for the Right Guy event. This is year 4 for the event. And over the last 3 years, thousands of women have participated in this event. This year is no different. We have thousands of women from all over the world registered to participate in this event. And it's been my honor and privilege to interview some of the very top experts on love, dating, and relationships in the whole world and to feature them in these events. So tonight's event is considered our official opening event, and we will be going for probably a couple of hours tonight. That's why we're calling it a marathon, so to speak. Now, if you can't stay with us the whole time, we understand. Stay as long as you can, but we really want to answer as many questions as we possibly can, so we're going a little longer than usual. And also, there will be a replay of this event that will be available for 24 hours after. So if you happen to miss some of it, you can come back and revisit a little bit as well. Although it's really fun and exciting to be here for the live event, so we're so glad that you're here. Then starting tomorrow morning, you will receive a daily email from me each morning with the featured interviews of the day. And we typically have 2 to 3 interviews that will be playing each day. Tomorrow morning, we're starting right off with John Gray and Catherine Woodward Thomas, 2 fabulous interviews. On Tuesday, we have Allison Armstrong and Johnny and Laura Fernandez, and throughout the event, so on, so on. So each day, 2 to 3 new interviews will be rolled out, and you will have approximately 48 hours from the time that they're rolled out to listen, and that's at no charge. That's available to you. It does get a little challenging sometimes to keep up with the event, and that's why we have VIP upgrade packages, which we'll talk about in a little bit, because some of you have asked questions about that. So I'll do an overview of that at about the 45-minute mark. I do want to say, though, if you're considering the VIP packages and you want to review them now, if you scroll down on the page that you're on, it will tell you a little bit about what's included. And if you're calling in from the phone, you can also go to readyfortherightguy.com/VIP to get the details. We'll go over those later, but tonight is the last night the packages are available at the pre-event special. So if you are considering it, this is a really great night. Then on the 22nd, which is 2 weeks from now, we will have a live event again, a closing event. It's called Dead End Dating Detours, Don't Get Lost on Your Way to Love, and I will actually be presenting live myself that night. So that will be actually at the same time as tonight, and we'll look forward to having you back in 2 weeks. So with all of that being said, I'd like to give you just a little bit of an overview of what we're going to do tonight. So as I mentioned, I'm so thrilled that you're here. I'm so thrilled that our male experts are here, and we are going to have a fabulous time together. What I'm going to do after I introduce our 3 male experts is I'm going to be taking your questions from the webcast, from my email, from the ones that have already been submitted, and I'll field those questions and feed them one at a time to each of our male experts. One of them will take the lead on each question, and the other two can add to that answer whatever they'd like to add. And we're going to try to move fairly quickly because we really want to take as many questions as we possibly can tonight. So if you are writing in your questions, please try to keep them short and concise and get right to the point, simply because that will make it more likely for your question to be chosen as one of the questions that we will be taking tonight. So with all of that, thank you for your attention and for being here. I'd like to ask each of you ladies to set an intention here for me today that we will be sending lots of loving energy and support to our 3 male experts. Now think about them for a moment. Here they are, bravely here, to share their wisdom and advice with women from all over the world. And my husband sometimes says, never put yourself in a situation where you could potentially make large groups of women mad at you. So these men are being put on the spot because I'm fielding them questions and they don't even really know what's coming. And we're asking them to answer questions just right on the spot. So I would like to invite you with me to send them lots of loving and supportive energy and to also approach this with an open heart and an open mind and just feel into what they say and try on whatever advice they might have to give, because I know their intention for you is a loving and supportive one. So with that, I would like to introduce you to our 3 male experts. So first I have Ken Bechtel. Ken Bechtel is the creator of the Finding Mr. Right system. He has shared his insights and amusement as a speaker, educator, and relationship coach to help women consistently get their needs met so they can develop happy, healthy, long-term relationships He's also the host of the wildly popular Speaking of Partnership podcast that is heard in over 60 countries around the world. And you can join Ken to learn from the world's leading relationship experts, share their personal stories of partnership success and failure at speakingofpartnership.com. Welcome, Ken. You want to say hi?
Hello, ladies. Hello, Michelle. Great to be here.
So great to have you here. So now we have Carrie Valentine. So Carrie is an international speaker facilitating relationship retreats around the globe, and he's an award-winning best-selling author of In Love Forever, Seven Secrets to a Joyous, Juicy Relationship, which he co-wrote and lived out with his late wife, Wendy. And his innovative, patent-pending Turn Your Doubts Inside Out system quickly transforms fears, doubts, and worries permanently, creating more confidence, success, pleasure, and joy. Carrie also trains world-class musicians, actors, international sales teams, financial advisors, and PGA golfers to execute peak performance. And Carrie is also a frequent guest on ABC and CBS radio networks, and he's also a very talented musician who lives on the enchanting island of Kauai with his two cats, Harry Potter and Jazzy. Welcome, Carrie. You want to say hello?
Aloha, Michelle, and it's a joy and an honor to be here with my fellow brave dudes and all the women here, and excuse me, I am just so jazzed and excited to offer my heart and service to everyone here today and grow together.
Thank you so much. Dave Elliott is our third male expert, and he is a noted expert, author, international speaker, and an accomplished coach who gets results for his clients all over the world. He's especially gifted at teaching smart, amazing women how to bring out the very best in men rather than suffering through their worst. Whether he's sharing his expertise in books or products or on some of today's widely read relationship websites or on TV, radio, or stage, you'll come away with the new awareness, skills, and strategies to get the breakthrough results you really want and need. Welcome, Dave. You want to say hello?
I would love to. Thank you very much. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. I'm excited that we're going to help some people tonight, and really, I know both of these guys, we're going to give some great information and just really give from our hearts, so we're ready to do it, and I'm excited. Thanks for inviting us.
Well, thank you so much for being here, all three of you, and I'm so thrilled to have you here, and I think we'll just start out in the opposite order of how I introduced you, and so we'll let Dave take the first question here.
Yes.
And go backwards through that. How does that sound, Dave? You ready to go? Ready to kick
Let's
us
do
off?
It. Sure.
Okay, so here is a question that came in from Maria in Barcelona earlier today. She says, I've been single for a very long time. My family, friends, and my social environment in general keep reflecting the single friend, single colleague, single auntie identity back to me during social events and social interactions. I fear I'm internalizing this image, and I'm starting to accept that this is who I really am and will always will be. However, I long for a partner in my life and a family more than anything in my world, anything in the world. How can I fight back this self-belief that others are trying to impose on me? So, Dave, how would you answer that question from Maria in Barcelona?
Oh, my goodness. That's there's a lot there.
Yeah, there is.
One of the things that I like to do a lot of times when a client asks me a question, I like to try to reverse engineer the thought or the question. And so, first of all, there's this whole issue where she believes there is an identity that is being forced upon her or reinforced or given to her against her will. So that right there It tells me there's something to do in the area of, you know, having her being the one who's calling the shots in her life from a place where she of clarity, where she knows what she wants, she knows what she deserves, and she knows her value. So clearly I know those are three areas that I would want to sort of, you know, ask some questions about right off the bat, because, again, she believes that it's being imposed upon her and she doesn't have a choice. The truth of the matter is she does have a choice. She always has a choice. And so, again, I like to reverse engineer the thought where the question came from. And, you know, a lot of times one of the things that I'll do is I'll have, you know, like, one of the questions that tells me a lot about the situation is if I said, fill in the blank, men are blank. You know, and their belief about what men are often tells me a lot about, you know, what's missing, what's unhealed, what's maybe incorrect, or maybe what needs to be corrected, healed, fixed, just adjusted slightly. If you believe that, you know, men are jerks or men are players or men are, you know, many things worse than that, that's only going to take you to certain places because you believe that there's only, you can only achieve an end result that comes from your belief. So if you believe, like, for instance, men always leave, or that you're always the single person, well, you're only going to achieve more and more situations where it looks like, oh, look, here I am, the single person again. So you're looking for it. And so that's why it keeps happening. If you look for, if you believe something different and then you begin to believe differently, you will achieve differently, or you will attract better situations where you're no longer reinforcing this belief. So this is something that, one, she's taken on, and two, now she's looking for evidence to support it. You know, if I said, you know, look for evidence of, you know, where people are mean, you could have 400 people who were nice to you, and then if one person is mean to you, like, see, I knew it, people are mean. And you will delete all those other instances to the contrary of what you already believe. So I think it really is important to come back to what you believe first and foremost. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Okay, so Ken, you want to add anything to that?
No, I mean, that was great. I love what Dave said. And I guess the way I heard that from Maria or any other ladies that resonate with what she was asking is I always encourage the ladies that I work with to really identify for themselves if they're going through their life moving away from what they don't want, and in Maria's case, trying to get away from the idea that she's single or that identity that people are sending to her, or is she moving towards what she does want? Is she moving towards, I want that relationship, I'm moving towards finding a perfect partner? And there's a huge difference there because, one, you're constantly reactive. Oh, there's something I don't want. I got to get away from it. And it doesn't actually take us closer to what we do want. It just gets us away from what we don't want. So when you can focus on what you do want, those annoying, you know, kind of obstacles or bumps in the road, like somebody going, oh, you're my single auntie, you're just like, that's annoying. I know what my goal is. My goal is a perfect partner. And these things are, you know, kind of along the trail, but they don't stop me anymore. So that's what I would encourage anybody listening to this and that resonate with that question is, figure it out for yourself. Which way are you going? And if you're living your life avoiding what you don't want, you're never going to get where you want to go. You've got to take the lead and actually go, I'm headed towards this goal, and anything along the road is not going to stop me.
Thank you, Ken. Carrie, you have anything you want to add?
Yes. First of all, Dave and Ken, those beautiful answers. Peace that I would respond, hola, Maria, in Barcelona. I would say to add to what they're saying is for Maria to take a look at the limiting thoughts that she herself may have about being single, and then how it's being projected possibly by her friends and family by saying, oh, Maria's the single one. And the key here is to, I know this may sound crazy, but get excited, because your inner trainer, those voices that say you're the single one, is trying to strengthen Maria's resolve to have what she really wants, which is a relationship. So what I'm saying is, and we'll get probably more into this tonight as we talk further, but it's to if you hear someone actually say it, that Omari is the single one, or she, you know, that's kind of being said, she doesn't have to fight them. She just has, you know, tell them do say something different. It's just in her own self to start turning that around and go, oh, when I hear the voice that I'm, quote, single, that's there to remind me how deep and how passionate and how intentional am I to have the loving relationship I want now. To start bringing that around. So it's to see it as a gift, even though it may not feel and hear what you want, but it's a gift to strengthen her for her resolve to have the love she is wanting in her life now.
Thank you, all of you. I can't resist. I have to just put my 30-second two bits in here. I was a single woman until 43. I married for the first time at age 43 to my husband, so I totally get what this feels like. And I just want to say to all of you out there that are listening, I want to encourage you to be proud of who you are, no matter what, no matter what has or hasn't happened in your love life up to this point. And I also think it would be okay if you ask those people in your life politely, one-on-one, in a private moment, if they would just introduce you as yourself, not necessarily as the single aunt or whatever, because you alone right now are complete and wonderful and worthwhile and worthy, and I want you to be proud of who you are. So I just couldn't resist saying that. Okay, next. So, Ken, I think we're going to tee off with you on this one. And
okay.
This one is from Shanghai, China. And this is Kate. And she says, this is interesting because there's a little bit of a similar thing. How do I stop thinking there's something wrong with me when I've been single 7 years and I'm only 29? The guys I get close to say they don't want a relationship, but they seem to find women they like better and get in relationships weeks later. So are they not emotionally unavailable? Almost everyone I know or meet is settled down. Will it ever be my turn? There's a lot there too.
Yes. And as is often the case with women's questions, there's a lot of different layers to it. Great question, Kate. And I'm sure a lot of folks listening are going, ooh, ooh, me too. So really good question for our group. First of all, I would say, you know, there's a real challenge in our culture because there is a lot of stigma about being single. Matter of fact, I did some research once, and I looked at the U.S. Census, and you know there's actually no category for single?
Mm.
It's called never married. So the U.S. government doesn't even recognize you as valid as single. So there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of stigma to the idea that, oh, you're 29 and you're still single, you're 39 and you're still single, whatever your age is. So back to what we were speaking of earlier, first of all, own that's who you are right now. That's where you are right now. And something to bear in mind, if people are introducing you, like Maria was saying, where they're introducing you that way, take it as they're making sure the world knows you're available. They're saying, ooh, this is Kate. She's single. She's available. Because you probably don't think she is, because she's amazing. And one of the things to know is you've got to own that vision. You've got to own what you want for yourself. So really, yeah, so other people got to whoever they got to first. These men that you're meeting that, you know, say they're not into a relationship and then move on to someone else, don't focus on them, focus on where you're going. Because here's the key. You want to find the person that's right for you, not just any person so you don't stay single. And a lot of times people get into relationships for the wrong reason. They get into marriages for the wrong reason. I'm sure everyone listening knows or personally has gone through that experience. Probably all of us have been through there. So know that if these aren't the right people for you, they're not the right people for you. Great. I'm going to guess your sample group is statistically insignificant. There's 3.5 billion men on the planet. You probably haven't dated near enough people to even come close. So Do more research. Get out there. Date more. Meet more people. And start exploring, what do you need in a relationship? What supports you in being your best self? Because that's what I firmly believe is what makes a Mr. Right. It's how you feel with that person. And if you're not feeling the right energy, the right vibe, the right support that allows you to be your best self when you're with them, no worries. They're just not the right one, and you got to keep looking. And as you're doing that, in each person you meet, you start to refine what additionally you need, what else you need to support you in being your best version of yourself, where you're actually being able to bring the gifts that are you forward at all times. So really keep that in your mind of, oh, okay, cool. I'm just looking for what supports me along the lines. And the whole single part, whatever, people put titles on things. You're just making sure that you're taking care of you first. And by doing that, by doing the research, getting out there, meeting the men, and identifying for yourself what you need to be your best self in the world.
Thank you so much, Ken. And let's see, I think, Carrie, I think it's your turn to go next. What would you like to add?
Beautiful response, first off, Ken. And thanks. Great question, Kate. The piece that I'd like to share is learning to be happy being and loving being single. It's not a stigma at all. It's a part of the life. It's a part of a journey. And it just is. So the more each one of us that are single out there, not in a relationship, is loving your life now to the full capacity that you would imagine yourself be when you're in a relationship, you're actually going to be a more beaming, attractive magnet to a relationship. So again, don't look to the relationship to then be the beautiful self that you are. Be it now. Learn to be it now and to really love your life and see the areas that you're having challenges with maybe fears or doubts or insecurities about being single. Turn it around and do the activities that you would be doing and want to be doing when you're in a relationship.
Thank you, Carrie. And Dave, what would you like to say about this one?
Well, again, that's a great question, and I definitely see a theme forming here. But for Kate, one of the things that I like to do with a client is I do a little thing called the turnaround. And so her belief is that, you know, how do I not believe there's something wrong with me? So therefore, her belief is there really is something wrong with her. And so she believes that men are not available because there's something wrong with her. So my question is, if you believe that men are not available, where do you believe where are you not available? And in her case, you know, the ramifications of that question or that belief are coming back to bite her again and again, because let's face it, if you think there's something wrong with you, well, that's going to make you hide certain things. That's going to make you prevent you from showing up at your best. It's going to force you to, you know, put up some walls to kind of keep people out so they don't, you know, if you're trying to hide your downside, the other side of that is no one gets to see your upside. No one gets to see your, you know, magnificent beauty and your grace and your kindness and your that amazing fun and radiant side of you, because you're too busy trying to hide what you believe deep down is wrong with you. And so people don't get a chance to interact with what's right and what's amazing about you. And so then she's looking for this evidence and says, I've been single 7 years. But the truth of the matter is, if she did this work and asked a different question, took on a different belief, and for the last 7 years, everybody was seeing the greatness in Kate instead of, you know, the wall that Kate hides behind, then I greatly suspect that her dates would go very differently. People would, you know, be approaching her differently. There would be a very different life for Kate if she had started with a very different belief. And that is, I mean, there's nothing wrong with you. We all have, you know, some doubts and insecurities, but we don't live there when you do this work. And that's why it's a beautiful privilege to do what I do with the people that I get the privilege to work with all over the world. It's like I help them, you know, go inside and say, well, where did you get that belief? And what is that about? And what are we going to do with that? Is that sustainable? And you just sort of walk them through and let them know that if you hold that, you can't, with that belief, what got you here is not going to get you there. It's not going to get you to the place you want to be. So we have to do a little work to go and manage that or upgrade it or shift it. And then when we do, everything kind of takes care of itself, and that's the beauty of it. So it's really about updating that operating system that's asking these really poor quality questions.
Thank you so much to all of you. All right, Carrie, before I read your question, I just want to share something that somebody wrote in on the webcast. This is from Gail in Las Vegas, and this isn't a question, but I just wanted to share this. She says, my intention is to meet my ultimate romantic soulmate, life partner, husband. So I just love that she's sharing her vision. So that was beautiful. So next, our question for Carrie comes from Claire in Santa Fe. And she says, I am a woman, and she has in quotation marks, of a certain age. And my body is not as beautiful as it was when I was younger. And we have a lot of mature women on the call tonight and on the event. I keep hearing that men are visual and physical beauty is the first thing they notice and look for in a mate. I'm frankly afraid to date again after quite a while after my last relationship due to my less than gorgeous body. How important really is this to a mature man? Thank you. That's from Claire.
Oh, Claire, my heart is with you. And first off to say, let's look at things. Yes, in most men, we tend to be visual, okay? That's an aspect, but it's not everything, especially if you're also looking to date a man of a certain age. That, again, it's there, but don't let that be such a worry for you. And I'd like to share one piece that is very vulnerable and transparent, but it's important here. I remember years ago for myself, when I watched the movie Titanic, and the Rose, who was then being played by an older woman, sharing about her life when she was younger on the Titanic, and she's sharing all these experiences, and she is definitely older woman, wrinkled face, all of that, and yet I found myself so attracted to her, and I was fascinated by that, because right next to her was her granddaughter, who was much younger and we would say more physically attractive. However, what I found, and this would be great for you, Claire, is her spirit. That's what I was attracted to. It bled through the wrinkles, okay? And I want to share that for you, that it's seen, it's there, we know, okay? And that's life. But that's part of life living in Santa Fe too, you know, with the beautiful background that you live in there, okay? With the dry air and stuff. Don't, you know, my suggestion is see it, but don't let that bother you. Go deeper in your heart and your soul to what is your uniqueness and what makes you attractive, and know that that's going to beam out and that's going to help men find you. So again, I'm trying to share with you, Claire, don't let that stop you at all. You know, just let it all be, and the more you're natural and okay with it, the more you're going to find men kind of probably finding you attractive, and then them also feeling okay with the blemishes that they got.
Thank you, Carrie.
Sure.
Okay, so let's see. I think it's Dave up next.
Awesome.
What would you like to say about this?
First of all, Carrie, great job. I felt that, and that was awesome. The thing that I would add is, again, we step back and take a look at the presupposition involved in the question. You know, she's a woman, Claire from Santa Fe, is a woman of a certain age, and she has these beliefs about physical beauty and her value relative to a younger, you know, in her mind, prettier woman. But the thing is, that's a total construct in her thinking. And here's the truth that I like to tell her and every other woman that's on this phone call right now. there are men in this world who love every single body type. There are men who like tall women. There are men who like short women. There are men who like heavy women. There are men who like skinny women. There are men who like every kind of woman out there. And the truth of the matter is, what makes the biggest difference, we take our cues from you. You know, if you feel good, if you are in a great place, if you, you know, are, if you like yourself and you're able to walk through this world, men are attracted to radiance, beauty, grace, generosity. And those things make the big difference on whether a man is going to be attracted to that. And here's the other thing I want to tell you, that a man will go for a woman who respects and appreciates him every time. And even if you put yourself up against a woman who's 20 years younger, you know, whatever number of pounds thinner, you know, if she has all these other traits, but she doesn't respect and appreciate him, and she might not, because remember, a lot of times people who are, say, gifted in certain areas, they tend to take blessings for granted. They don't appreciate people because things are sort of handed to them maybe more easily, you know, for, you know, more attractive people, you know, things come easier. So they don't appreciate. And so the fact is, if you will respect and appreciate a man more than a woman who is much younger than you, but, you know, seemingly, you know, can have any man she wants, who do you think he's going to go with ultimately? He's going to go with the woman that really loves and adores him and cares for him. And, you know, if you have this, the presupposition is you believe that all men like vanilla ice cream, meaning vanilla ice cream is, you know, young, pretty, 22-year-old, you know, of a certain weight, and a certain age, and a certain height, and a certain, you know, chest size, and all these other things that go with it, you would have to delete, you know, all the other flavors of ice cream. You know, Baskin Robbins has 33 flavors, and there are men like all of them. Every single one of them sells, otherwise they'd get rid of them. So I'd say love your flavor, love what you bring to the table, and appreciate and respect the man, and he's going to find you amazing if you find you amazing. So it always starts with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciate all of your answers, and I just want to say again, I'm just going to add a tiny little piece here. I'm a woman who married a man 5 years my junior. And I also have been through breast cancer, which, believe me when I tell you, made some major alterations on my body. And I lost all of my hair. That was gone for almost a year, going through the cancer treatments. And I can tell you, of course, my husband and I were already married when this happened, but he would kiss my head and tell me I was beautiful. And what I got from that experience, the gift that I got from that experience, was I got that he loved me for far more than what I looked like physically or what I could accomplish or what I could do at that time. And I got really clear about my own divine feminine essence and value as a woman. And I really believe what the men have said, a lot of this is based on how you carry yourself and on you being proud of who you are and what you have accomplished, what you've survived, all that you've come to know and all the wisdom that you have and the beautiful hearts that you have. And if you're out shining your best light, no matter what age you are, I believe you can attract love. I have supported women clear up into their 70s on a path to love. So I know that it's possible. So just a little pep talk there from me too. Okay, so let's see. Our next... Oh, thank you very much. So
Michelle,
the next
could I add something real quick?
Yes.
So this is Ken, and I just want to share these little data points because I think they'll really help the ladies. And Claire, one thing to understand, and I thank you so much for this very vulnerable question. They've done a lot of research around, you know, everybody's asking that question. What's the thing that attracts a man? What's a man like most about a woman? So on and so forth. And when they've researched and asked men, what's your favorite curve on a woman's body? And I'm sure one just popped into your head. The far and away winner is a smile.
Mm.
And when they've asked men, what's the quality that most draws you to a woman, to want to have a relationship to a woman? The far and away winner is self-confidence. And I do a lot of events where it'll be a, you know, co-ed audience, and the women are asking men, you know, all their questions and back and forth, and I'm kind of moderating that. And every event I've ever done like that, at some point, one of the women asks, men, what are you looking for? What would make you ask a woman out for a second date? What's that thing? What's the thing that we need to be so you will be interested in us? And in all the years I've done this, not one man ever said anything about the physical body. To a person, they use something of, there's something about her energy. There's something about the vibe she puts on. There's just something about her, some kind of energy that happens. So much like Carrie and Dave were saying, yes, we hear a lot about the physical, and yes, men are visual, but as far as what draws us to really adore you, it's not the physical. The physical surface, and it's not taking you where you want to go if you want a really deep and heart-connected relationship. It's what you bring to the table energetically, who you are as a confident person, knowing that you have a lot to offer, and the people that can have that are the only ones you need to worry about. Thank you for letting me say that.
Yeah, thank you for adding that. And a thought came to mind as you were speaking, and I'd love each of you to just quickly weigh in on this, but I really believe, based on my own experience and supporting many other women, that a lot of this really comes down to initially the attraction factor is there, the physical attraction factor, but doesn't it really come down to, in many ways, how you as a man feel with her as a woman?
Yeah.
Men?
I think that's a big factor. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a big factor, and I think it goes both ways, too. It's about, you know, and I think maybe it was Carrie that said it earlier about, you know, one of the big deciding factors is how do I feel when I'm with, you know, my beloved? You know, do I feel good? Do I feel respected, appreciated, loved, adored, appreciated for who I am? You know, I think that's a huge aspect of attraction. Do you feel comfortable with that person, or are you trying to hold up some sort of a facade? Like, oh my God, I hope they don't discover this about me. You know, if you can be 100% real and authentic and just comfortable in your own skin and confident, you know, I talk about the one trait that both masculine and feminine respect or really want the most is, and I think someone else said that earlier too, is confidence. You know, coming from a good place and knowing your value. And, you know, that has nothing to do with, you know, body image or weight or any of the, or skin or any of those things, you know, wrinkles. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's about someone who is in a good place and feels good in their own skin.
Thank you. Okay, Dave, I think we're back to you for the question, right? We made one round.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
Okay. So this one comes in from Amy in New York. Why does it seem to be so complicated? I get the impression that women should pander to the male. And I get this question a lot. I'm just going to add this to the question here. I get this question from women like, you know, men aren't necessarily out on these types of events, and you don't see a lot of men getting support as far as relationships. And so it's kind of like this idea that we women are the ones kind of trying to figure this out and do the heavy lifting. So I think that's probably part of this question from Amy.
Yes. And you said from New York, right?
Correct.
So the interesting thing about that question, Amy, you know, when you talk about pander to the male, like that term to me, I just look at that and I just feel like that's self-defeating, like that term pander. I mean, really, if you think about it, if you unpack what goes into that belief, you're talking about, well, obviously it comes from weakness, it comes from lack, it comes from there's a belief in competition, there's a whole power dynamic that's, you know, underneath of the whole thing. It's about who is in control, who's got the power. What you have to do, why doesn't he have to work hard, why do I have to pander to him? Like, there's a resentment in the question that will filter through in your interaction with him every single day. You believe I've got to pander to this clown? Like, that's going to come through, and it's going to filter, and he's going to feel like there's this underlying power dynamic that he doesn't feel good, he doesn't feel respected, he doesn't feel appreciated, he doesn't feel like, you know, she clearly doesn't feel like she's an equal because she's talking about pandering to him. Like, why do I have to go first? And, you know, this is not a question that comes from a person in a place of empowerment. This is not partnership when you presuppose where did that question come from. This is not two people who are on the same page, you know, for mutual benefit, who are beyond blessed that they have each other to make their lives better every single day. You know, there is a power dynamic underneath it. Why do I have to go first? And a better question I would ask is like, listen, if you come from a great place and you ask for what you want, why wouldn't he absolutely be delighted to want to give you that as his own sort of love offering? He's not looking for someone to pander to him. He's just looking for someone that gets him and sees the best in him and believes just there just might be a possibility that that man can be your hero instead of a jerk or a lazy guy who's waiting for you to do all the heavy lifting in the relationship. You know, if you believe that, that's going to color how you show up every single day. And again, I'll make the point, you know, if you're going into a relationship with that mindset, no man is going to see the best of you on a regular basis. They're going to see something way less than that. And possibly the worst of you. I mean, just because you have that belief about pandering, that's really just absolutely self-defeating, and that's the work to do about where did you get that idea about, you know, you have to, you know, be the one that gives in all the time and you have to make all the allowances. Because, again, it presupposes that you don't deserve someone who absolutely adores and cherishes you. Because you have to pander. So, again, it's the thought. You got to heal that thought, heal that experience, because the thought comes from a previous experience of some sort. So when you trace it back to, you know, where it originated, now we can actually do something with it. And I think that's a thought that needs to go somewhere and be healed.
Thank you. Ken, what would you like to add to that?
Yeah, everything Dave said and something I would bring your attention to, Amy, and anybody else, again, who's resonating with this question, goes back to something I said earlier. If it's complicated, meaning it's like work and a challenge and you feel like you're having to give yourself up to make something work for them, you're focusing on the form. You want to focus on the feelings. Your feelings are your guidance system. And I know there's a lot of, you know, oh, guys don't want somebody who's emotional or in touch with their feelings. Guys don't want that. It's not about them. It's about you. It's about you paying attention to how you feel so you can go, huh, okay, if I'm feeling like I'm pandering to somebody, he's probably not a really good partner, like Dave said. And the thing is, in a partnership, the only thing you have any responsibility for is your part, and your part's taking care of you. So pay attention to how you're feeling with that person and go, if that's not the right, if I feel like I'm pandering to that guy, I would personally go running. Like, done. That, there's nothing to, I have no reason in my life to pander to somebody else. That's not an effective use of my time, of my gifts, of my energy. So I invite you to take that position for yourself. Own that you're a gift. Your whole job is to bring your gifts forward. And if somebody gets that, great. Something you can always be aware of is whatever you need to be your best self, if you share that need with a man, which I highly suggest you do, his response is going to tell you a lot about what kind of partner he can be. If he's excited about that, if he's like, wow, tell me more, how do I support that? Hello, pretty good candidate for partnership. But if he's dismissive, if he's like, yeah, whatever, that's not important, I would get out of there as fast as possible, because he's not your partner. So pay attention to those feelings. Let it be your guiding system so you can actually be your best self no matter where you are. As Carrie said earlier, whether you're single or not, don't wait. Bring your beauty forward now.
Thank you. Carrie, would you like to add anything to this question?
Sure. Great. First off, I'm just really having a great time hearing Dave and Ken talk and offering their suggestions, and the harmony here is fantastic. What I want to go back to just to add real quick, what was Ken was just sharing about, like, the guidance system. Again, like, yes, many women are more drawn to these kind of events. And for whatever the reason, it could be a lot socially, just don't worry about that, you know, what the numbers are. Because, again, it's more than likely you're looking for one special man to be in relationship. That's not always, you know, every case, but usually people are looking for one, not an open relationship piece. That being said, there's a lot to scout and sort through out there. And just kind of, again, what Ken was saying, using your guidance system, check to see when you meet someone where they're at. Are they supporting you or not? And honoring your sweetness. And again, it's not complicated. Keep it simple. and empower your heart, your passion, your love, your spirit. And knowing that each and every day, consistently in your thoughts, you will attract a man who is equally as interested in you as you are and will be in him. Okay, so stay to where you want to be, not with all the lot of noise out there about all the kind of stuff that it's difficult to find men. I'll just share one real quick piece about this. I love that you know, Ken, you're adding a lot of the data piece, and as for myself, living on a small island of Kauai, and hearing different things, oh, there's not available men, blah, blah, blah. And then when I go to San Francisco, I hear, oh, there's not a lot of available men. And then when I go to New York, I hear, oh, there's not available men. It's like, wait a second, there's available men everywhere. So, you know, just doesn't matter where you live and where you are and your circumstances and the numbers, they're there. Just turn the doubts inside out and keep firing up what you want.
Thank you. I have to add my two bits one more time. As a woman who had her own long and winding journey to love, for a long time I felt very frustrated and disappointed that other aspects of my life were going so well and my love life was not. However, what I discovered, and I found myself in that mindset where I was too old or all of the good ones were taken or there weren't enough available high-quality men in my area and there were a lot more high-quality women in my area. Well, even if that might have seemed true to me, even if there might have been some truth to it, the truth was that what I discovered as I continue to do this work to discover what I might be doing or thinking, patterns of behavior that might be blocking me, I discovered some self-defeating thoughts and patterns of behavior. And once I began to understand those, I began to show up differently. And that was a big part of what allowed me to meet and attract my now amazing husband. We've been married now for a little over 10 years. And if I hadn't continued on this journey, it wouldn't have mattered what any man out there was or wasn't doing. I would never have been ready to give and receive the kind of love that I now enjoy. So what I am saying is it doesn't really matter so much what anybody else is or isn't doing out there, men or other women. What matters for you is your own personal journey and you doing the kinds of things that are going to help you to create the kind of life and love that you want in your life. And when you get that, it's really empowering. You can take responsibility for what you really want in your life and focus on the desire and creating what you want, not focusing on the frustrations or the lack. So I just wanted to mention that. Before our next question,
Can I throw in just one more quick thing, Michelle?
Absolutely, Dave. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to bring it all back around. When you mentioned the word pander with the theme here, and it's like I can speak for the other two guys who have been amazing on this call, but like if you could have a woman pander to you, would you want that or would you find that, you know, valuable in any way? And I think we'd all agree, no. We don't want anyone to pander to us. We wouldn't respect that. And the truth is that's a one-way ticket to resentment for the person who is having to pander. So, you know, no enlightened, evolved man is going to want someone to, you know, come, you know, interact with him from a place of lack or, you know, feeling like they're having to pander. It's just a totally an empowered position that doesn't do anything for either of you.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. And it is an interesting word, isn't it, that word, pander.
Yeah.
I think what you're bringing up here, Dave, is really important because I think most men, most high-quality men that you'd want to be in a relationship with, they're going to want you to be the kind of woman that they can also respect and admire and appreciate as well, and they're not necessarily looking for someone to pander to them. So I appreciate you mentioning that. Before we take the next question, just a couple of quick things. First, just a compliment coming in from Deb in Los Angeles. She says, "You guys are all so awesome. Thanks so much for sharing this with us lovely ladies. It's so refreshing to hear evolved men's perspective." So just a compliment for the wonderful men on our call.
Thank you, Deb.
And before we...
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Mahalo.
Yeah, so receive that, men. A little appreciation, right? That's one of the things we all teach.
And I would remind you that we're not the only one. There's a lot of other men out there. So if you see that in us, know that that is available in the marketplace. That is your daily life. So, if we do nothing else tonight but give you hope and faith that there are other good, evolved men out there, well, then I'd say we've done a big part of our job. I know they're there.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So I'd like to just take a moment now, because many of you have been emailing me today and over the past few days, just questions and a little bit about the VIP upgrade packages. And I just want to take just a couple of minutes to go over these again, because they're still available right now on the pre-event special. However, that does expire tonight, so you're going to want to take a look and lock in the savings. So I just want to go over them. If you're on the webcast, you can scroll down on the page that you're listening to this event from, and you can see the inclusions of the gold and the platinum VIP packages, and I'm just going to quickly go over them with you as well. And if you're listening in by telephone, you can also go to readyfortherightguy.com/VIP if you want to take a quick look as well. So I'm offering two packages right now, and I really want to invite you to consider these, because I know you're going to want to listen to this event more than once, and I also know it will move quickly, and it's difficult to catch it all. And I can just tell you, this is the fifth event like this that I've done. I've done five summits, and I can just tell you the interviews in this event just absolutely blew my mind, and I have interviewed a lot of people. So both of the packages include the audio and video downloads from this entire event, including tonight's event and including the live closing ceremony. And then the gold package also includes a tips and tools event learning guide, which is like a workbook to help you maximize your learning during the event. And then, based on last year's event, I took a survey, and all of the women voted and chose their top 10 interviews from last year. And there were some fantastic ones, but these are the top 10. And the downloads to that are included in the gold package. So that's the gold package. Then, with the platinum package, it includes everything that I just said, plus two incredible bonuses. In the summer, in August, I did another summit called the Man Panel. All three of these gentlemen that you're hearing from tonight appeared as guests on the Man Panel event and gave wonderful, juicy interviews, in addition to 17 other top male experts. And with the Platinum Package, you will also get the downloads from all of those men. So if you like hearing from men and hearing the male perspective, like we're hearing tonight, and you didn't get the Man Panel Package in August, this is included in the Platinum Package. In addition to that, and this is a really big bonus, I am teaching a live course called Meet Him and Keep Him, a five-part masterclass series starting in February, and I'm going to be teaching things that I've only shared up to this point with my private clients. And if you buy the Platinum Package, you will be able to participate in that live class with me. All of the classes will be recorded as well so that you can listen live or you can listen to the recorded version, and we'll have the downloads to that. And that course I will be offering for $300 outside of the summit event, but you can get it now included in the Platinum Package. Also with the Platinum Package, there will be one drawing for one winner, and I'll announce that on the closing ceremony that I told you about for a $250 Visa card. I did this last year, and it's really fun. This is just with the Platinum Package. You'll get one entry when you buy the Platinum Package. And my idea behind this was to just give you $250 so you could buy a really nice outfit for your next big date or next big occasion or something that made you feel really great, like pictures for your profile online, whatever. So that's the Platinum Package. And then with both packages, as I shared with you, I'm a breast cancer survivor, and so there's a charity that's near and dear to my heart, which is called Image Reborn Breast Cancer Survivor Foundation. And this is a wonderful organization that plans healing retreats for women that are going through breast cancer treatments or have survived breast cancer treatments. And I can tell you, at a very difficult time in my life, I went to one of their retreats and found it very healing and very beautiful. And so I want to support them. So with either the gold or the platinum package, a portion of the proceeds will be going to the Image Reborn Breast Cancer Foundation. So please take a look at both of those. I know you're going to want to have this material in your personal library. You'll have unlimited lifetime access. So choose which is right for you now. And remember, the pre-event special expires tonight, so lock in the savings now. Okay, with that being said, let's go back to our questions here. Let's see. I've kind of lost track of who we're at. I think we're
Ken.
Okay, Ken. Let's see. Ken, how can I express something that I really dislike in his behavior without sounding offensive or nagging? This comes from Lisa in Tucson.
Lisa in Tucson, that may be one of the most common questions I ever hear. Thank you for asking it. So this is a big issue, because clearly you don't want to be naggy. You know that's not going to be something men are looking for. Ooh, they're looking for a naggy woman. No, we know that's not the case. Here's the key. It's really, really simple. Whenever you're looking to, you know, express, here's something that would work better, here's something that isn't working for me, what you want to do is express a genuine appreciation first. Now, it might actually be kind of vaguely related, like, oh, I appreciate that you've been around the house more this week. And then you lead into whatever else you need. Here's why. Appreciation is the fuel that gets men to take action. So it's got to be genuine. If you make up something, we'll know right away. We have amazing BS meters. So you want to genuinely appreciate him. I'll give you an example. I was teaching a co-ed course, and there was a couple there named Inga and Rob. And Inga said to me, she goes, well, how come when I tell Rob what I want, he seems to get, like, depressed? And I said, well, you know, can you give me an example? And she said, sure. She goes, the other night we went out to dinner. And they have two children, and they got a sitter and just had time for themselves. And she's like, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And then I also realized, you know, it would be nice to do this and go dancing sometime. So what she had said to Rob was, you know, I'd really like to go dancing. And Rob literally deflated. And even then, in front of me, days later, he kind of slumped down in his chair. So my suggestion was, well, what if you said, hey, Rob, I loved having dinner with you tonight. It was so nice to have one-on-one time. You know what would be even better next time? If we went dancing afterwards. Every man in the room sat up and started nodding their head. Because what's happening is it's letting him know he did the best he could in that moment with what he knew. Now you're giving him more information. You're setting him up to win even more, which here's the cool part. When you do that, you set yourself up to win because now he's going to give you what you're looking for. So you want to start with appreciation because then he can go, good, now I can move forward from here. I've done the best I could in the situation, and now I can hear what's the next piece, what else is going on there. So it's not about being naggy. It's about being in partnership, recognizing what they've done so far, and then going, here's what else would be beneficial, or here's why that doesn't work and what would be a better replacement. So I hope that helps you.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's see. Carrie, what would you like to add?
That was a great response, Ken. What I would add is, again, in the area of appreciation, in the area for this, like this for you, Lisa, in this regard is saying something, this is something that means a lot to me. Like, again, let's use the example of going out to, you know, after dinner, going dancing. That means I would really like to do that. And then in a similar but different way than in this case, in this using this, Rob would have the opportunity to then say, how does that feel for you, Rob? Does that interest you? Because maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. And the point is, neither one of you have to be right or wrong with if you're not on the same track in that moment. And probably by giving the opportunity to express each partner openly and vulnerably, transparently, you may find that Rob, in this case, is a little shy dancing and he's not as comfortable, let's say, as Inga might be. So then, okay, but would you like to, then the following question, well, if you felt more comfortable dancing, would you like to then do that with me? And he might probably say yes. So that might lead then to some dancing classes where you can go together and learn and get more intimate in a physical way and feel more connected. And that's also deepening your emotional intimacy too by that kind of conversation. So again, it's coming from a place of openness rather than a place of offensive or nagging.
Thank you. Dave.
Thank you. Good answers, guys. I would like to add, I'm going to start with a little news flash that might seem counterintuitive as well. And I want to say that your man really does want to please you if he can. Now, I know that might not have been your experience in the past. I know you might not have seen that. I know there have probably been times when he gave up trying. And that's exactly, that's where things go badly. It's when he no longer believes that he can please you or make you happy, which is why I loved, I believe, what Ken said about, you know, I really had a great time with you tonight. That's a compliment. What would make it even better, because now he gets the win, you're doubling down on the win, is if we went dancing. So you're already acknowledging what was great and saying, you know what would make it even better? Like the cherry on top of this whole thing would be if we went dancing too. And the other thing that goes with that question is if I feel like, you know, if the woman feels like, and Lisa in Tucson, feels like she's sounding offensive or nagging, like there's an undercurrent that you probably want to recognize and feel confident that what you're asking for, like you deserve it. And it's fair and reasonable to expect it. Now, you don't want to go so far that you're trying to control their behavior, because the truth is, ladies, you don't want a man you can push around and tell what to do. I mean, you do want someone who is, has some level of polish, but the truth of the matter is you really don't want someone you can push around and intimidate, and, you know, so you don't want that. So it's good to take a pause and step back and say, well, why do I want this? Why is this important? What am I really after here? Am I trying to get compliant? Am I trying to get control? Am I trying to simply be respected? Now, if you want to simply be respected, yeah, that's important. Like those things. So understand, like, what's the what's the goal underneath it? What are you looking for? And, you know, a little programming note, was it, I believe, day three, Michelle, you're doing an interview with one of my favorite people in the world, one of my favorite masters in this area is Alison Armstrong. And she talks frequently about a thing called a needs request. And you can simply announce to a guy, like, hey, listen, I've got a question. When would be a good time to chat about it? There's something, you know, occurred the other day, and I want to talk to you about it. Nobody's in any trouble. You want to pre-frame it, preface it by saying, like, nobody's in any trouble, but this weird thing happened the other day, and I want to talk to you about it. When would be a good time when we could chat? And again, because he wants to please, he will probably say, oh, well, how about now? Great. Okay. This thing happened the other day, and what she talks about is it made me feel this way when you did or said or whatever. And what would be great is if in the future you would do this, or I would feel if you tell them what's the benefit of what you're requesting. So like in the dancing example, I would feel really desired and loved and appreciated if we, in addition to going to dinner, we could go out dancing afterwards, because I just love to be close to you and it makes me feel so desired and it makes me feel like our relationship is getting closer and getting even better all the time. Would you be willing to do that? And then just sit back and zip it and see if he would say, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Or maybe he'd say, well, maybe I'm a little uncomfortable with dancing. Maybe we should take a dance class or something like that. But it's important to just give him the opportunity to step up to the plate and say, yeah, I'll do that. And remember what I started with is saying he really does want to please you if he can. So how do we come up with a plan that he can please you?
Yeah, I love that. In fact, I think I've heard Alison refer to this as like a request sandwich or something like that, where the request is in the middle, but you're saying something that you appreciate already in the beginning, and then explaining the benefit on the end. So I'm so glad you brought that up. And for those of you that are listening, Alison's interview will be airing on Tuesday, and it is mind-blowing. You have to catch it. I'm just telling you right now, it's the only interview I've ever conducted where at the end I said that blew my mind right on the interview. I myself am going to go back and listen to it about 10 times. And I want to thank you because so many of you are upgrading to the VIP packages, and I know you're going to be so glad that you did. Before I bring up the next question, though, I want to share a few more compliments with our men. Can you take that, men?
Oh, I don't know.
Sure. Of course, please.
You ready to receive?
Ready to receive.
Okay, sorry, I just refreshed and then I lost what I was going to say. Okay, so here we go. Jacqueline, I'm really moved at the strength, wisdom, and kindness you are modeling. I'm inspired by you three men and men in general. Okay, so then Sylvia says, thank you for this man panel. It has brought tears to my eyes. Michelle in British Columbia has said, yes, thank you, gentlemen. You've given me a lot of faith and good advice. Okay, so let's see. Who are we on for the questions? Carrie, you men are helping me stay on track here.
Yeah.
So, Carrie, this also comes from Sylvia in Washington, D.C., along with the compliment that she just shared. She said, I'm over 50 and have not yet been married and very much want to be. I get a lot of questions from men about why I haven't been married before, men I'm dating. This seems to be a source of concern for some of the men I've met, often leaving me feeling that something is wrong with me, that I have not been chosen, she put in parentheses. How do I navigate this?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, Sylvia. Great question. And kind of, I love the way Dave's mind is sharing a lot and kind of talking a lot of counterintuitive, like put it back on the gentleman that she's meeting. If it's being asked to her, you know, she could, whatever her response is, Sylvia, whatever your true piece is, maybe you just haven't met the right man yet. Maybe you haven't been fully prepared to make that commitment to someone yet. The best piece, again, is whatever your answer is, then bring it back to the man and ask him, tell me why you asked that and why is that important for you? So let's dig down deeper besides the surface level of why I haven't been married yet. Let's find out what's going on in his head with that kind of reaction, because then you can work with that. You can massage it. You can deal with whatever the realness is. You know what I'm saying? Rather than being afraid of the pink elephant in the room. So what? You haven't been married yet. Big deal. Big deal.
Right.
Literally, big deal. Next, like again, don't make it a big deal for you. If it's asked to you, just you know, put it back on the guy and find out from him what he might be thinking or what that feels for him.
Mhm. Yeah, I like that. Okay, let's see. Dave, what would you like to add?
Well, first of all, I would say shout out to Sylvia in D.C. because we're kind of neighbors. I'm in Baltimore, which is pretty close by. I would say a reframe on that would be good, too, because her presupposition is that question comes from a place of inquiry that's less than encouraging. Like, hey, what's wrong with you? Like, you know, why haven't you been chosen, as she said? And what if that's not even true? What if it's just, what if he's trying to find out, like, you could actually present yourself as, you know, you've just been waiting for the right person and you've been wide open to it and open to it, or you've been focused on other things, whatever it is for you. You could even actually use that as an example, like, say, for instance, well, a great way to turn that question around, and I'm just going to make up a story about this, say, well, you know what, in my earlier years, I was kind of focused on, you know, building my career or starting a business or raising a child or whatever it was. And you know what? I realized that I was preoccupied in other areas. But as I've, you know, matured, as I've gotten older, as I've come to new understanding, I've done a lot of work and I've never been in a better place and ready to meet the man of my dreams than right now. And I'm just really excited about this time right now. And he's going to be sitting across the table and say, whoa, I caught her at the right time. I'm so glad I didn't meet her 10 years ago. You know, so you can actually frame it as it's been a beautiful thing because I've done this work. Now, again, that's assuming you have gone and done the work, and that's the beauty of coaching. That's the beauty of what we do, and we're the beauty of listening to these summits and listening to all these experts give you, you know, great ideas. Just because you believe, you know, there's an underlying concern doesn't mean you have to sign on and buy into it. It can be a great thing. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, there's a time when, you know, someone could say, well, you know, why were you divorced? And, you know, maybe that's an answer that makes you feel bad. Or why were you, you know, when I was single for a number of years before I got remarried. And so someone might have, you know, made some kind of inference about what that meant. But the truth of the matter is, I am the one that gets to decide what things mean for me. Just as Sylvia, you are the one that gets to decide what things mean for you. And so if you can reframe it as a beautiful thing and why you have never been more open or ready for an amazing relationship as right now, it doesn't really matter what the reason is, quite frankly. What matters is, oh, my God, I'm so lucky. I got her at just the right time. She's awesome. I want to know more. He's going to be intrigued.
Thank you for that. Ken, do you want to add anything to this?
I want to add huge applause for these two guys. Those were incredible, incredible responses. And the only thing I would add other than that is, Sylvia, I just invite you to check in and make sure that they're actually asking this question and you're just not assuming it. Because oftentimes if we've gotten that question and it hurt, it didn't feel good, you felt invalidated when they said, well, why aren't you married? We just assume that everybody's viewing us through that lens. So make sure that it's actually what's being expressed. And maybe they ask that because they're like, you're an incredible catch. Like, how can you still be here? And they're bewildered. So don't assume why they're asking. And I say that because, first of all, I'm 50. I've never been married. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've had that same question asked of me. And if you don't ask them why they're inquiring about that, you can actually cut yourself off. And even though you may tell them, oh, well, I just haven't found the right guy, what will happen is if you feel that was an invalidating question, your energy will shift immediately. You can say oh, no, I just haven't found the right guy. But what you're expressing energetically is, I don't know either. I'm flawed. You're right. I screwed up. I missed the boat. There's something wrong with me. So you want to check in for yourself and make sure that you're actually hearing the actual question. Because here's what's happened to me. I've actually had people ask me that. And I'll say, you know, well, why are you asking that? And most of the time, it's not a negative thing. Now, turn it around where I've asked that question and somebody goes, oh, you just think there's something wrong with me because I'm not married yet. And I'll be like, no, that never entered my mind. I wasn't coming from that position at all when I asked that question. I was wanting to know about more about this person. So again, check in and make sure you're not self-sabotaging and assuming that since it's the same question that's been asked before and you found out why that first person asked it, that you're just laying that over everybody else's question and assuming it's a negative. So keep that perspective so you make sure that whoever you're meeting and whoever you're talking to in the moment, you're actually hearing their particular question, being present to who they are so you can actually engage with them from the position they're standing in. And if they are in a negative space about it and they're judging you, fine. Again, trust your feelings. How does it feel? If this feels invalidating and there's that overtone with your entire experience, yeah, that's probably a pretty good sign. That's not the best spot to put your energy. So that's what I would add.
Thank you so much. And I just want to say for any of you that are resonating with this question at all, whether it's a question that you get that triggers something, maybe you're divorced, maybe you've never been married, maybe you have something else in your past that you feel might be a deterrent to someone, I want to ask you to consider getting support in healing whatever shame might be around that. And if you haven't checked it out already, I have no affiliation at all, but I think her work is great. You could check out the work of Brené Brown on Amazon, and she's very well known, but she has a CD that's available called Men, Women, and Shame, or Men, Women, and Relationships. I don't remember the exact title, but it's excellent to help remove some of these beliefs so that we're not triggered and so we're not operating from a place of shame, and then those questions don't trigger us so much when they come into play. And again, I want to thank so many of you are upgrading to the VIP packages, and I'm really touched and honored to have your presence here and for your support of this event and for the men and for the overall event of Ready for the Right Guy. So more and more compliments are coming in for the men. Mary from Tustin says, very inspirational. Hope has been reignited with gratitude. Bev from Tucson is saying, just want to say thank you to all of you. You are all great. Let's see, I've lost track again, man. Help me. Who's the next question going to?
Can I think up? Dave is up.
Yeah, I think it might
Dave's
be.
Dave's up? Yeah. All right, so this one comes from Rinda in Newport News. She says, I was in a 6-year relationship, and he ended it and started seeing someone else. It's been almost a year now. What are the chances of him realizing what he had with me? I still love him, but then again, he cheated on me.
Ooh, okay. I guess the question I would have for Rinda, and thank you very much for the question, is why you would go back to that rather than go forward. And why that was okay, that he dishonored you in that way, or that there was something, you know, it's called a breakup because the thing is broken. There was some kind of need that he had that wasn't being met. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, and different. I don't have a judgment about it. But my question for you comes from the place of without even knowing you, I know you deserve a man who loves you fully and unconditionally. And you don't need to settle for that. And it feels to me, based on your description, like that would be settling. And I guess the question is, you know, again, I mentioned earlier, you know, feminine, the beauty of feminine is it navigates from emotion, and the downside of feminine is it navigates from emotion, and sometimes it can just hurt and it can be painful, and to be in that place where you would not only know how that went the first time, but then still want him back. Again, it tells me there's some sort of presupposition that maybe that's as good as it gets, or there's no one better out there, or that, you know, you just have to put up with that. And I don't believe any of that. So my question is, why would you? I shouldn't be the one that believes you deserve, you know, I want to say this, like, you should be the one who is saying that, you know what, you deserve better, and you absolutely can have better. I shouldn't be the one who believes in that more than you do. And so that's the work for you, is to get to a place where, how is it that I somehow make that okay, or I'm willing to overlook that? Because I think it's a pretty foundational piece. You deserve a man, Rinda, who absolutely loves and adores you and thinks you're amazing. And so I say, hold out, you know, for that. And in the meantime, listen to the summit, listen to these experts, take some things, start to understand how men operate, how they communicate, what they need, what they don't want, and how can you connect with them from a more organic place where it's just easier, and you're not, you know, it's not an uphill battle trying to disconnect and understand someone, and you don't have to settle. You can absolutely attract someone that adores you just the way you are, but you'll probably need to do a little bit of work first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a lot of times women will, I think, you've said this so eloquently, Dave, when you said, you know, that we as women operate from emotion, and I think a lot of times our feelings go back to all the good stuff that happened in the relationship. We remember things with fondness and perhaps don't remember some of the challenges in retrospect, and our feelings, because we still have feelings for this person, if we really loved them, it can be hard to move forward. But I agree, the path here is a path forward, not looking back. Okay, so let's see. Carrie, what would you like to add?
Well, I agree with what's being shared here. And at the same time, let's just scratch under the surface a little bit to reflect on, like Dave, I was talking about, things are broken. And there's usually a reason for why a guy, quote-unquote, cheats or goes to another woman. And it's deeper than the physical. But usually, in many cases, usually the physical intimacy has broken down because the emotional intimacy has broken down. And so it might not be something we're so much focusing on or thinking about, but that's really what often happens, is that we first lose that connection of sharing and feeling that support from each other, and then usually the physical intimacy lessens. Now, even if it's still happening, the intensity, the feeling of the heart lessens. And maybe there were some pieces here that just, obviously I don't know more of the story, but just that this, the other partner didn't want to go deeper or something there. But again, totally, Rinda, it's nothing about making yourself wrong. It's just looking at, was there something here that I could have done better for myself or this piece? And then, like, clear that and move forward with such joy and excitement at that, knowing that this situation happened. It is what it is. It may not be what you want, but to know there's an amazing man waiting around the corner for you to take you and him to a new level. So with it. Don't deny it, but let it go and move forward. Be present now.
Thank you, Carrie. Let's see. Ken, what would you like to add?
Well, there's not a lot to add to what's been said. I think what I would most like to contribute, Brenda, is your question relates exactly to actually the free gift I have after my interview. So listen to the interview that Michelle and I did. The focus is on how to stop chasing maybes and find your Mr. Right. And what you're talking about right now is, much like Dave said, you're settling. You're chasing a maybe. And a lot of people do this. It's probably the most common behavior there is in the dating world. So I really encourage you to listen to that interview. We talk about that topic and then pick up the free gift. It's an ebook about how to stop chasing maybes and get your needs met so you can actually find the man that is your Mr. Right. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, thank you very much. And all of you that are listening from the event page right now, there are links to each of the men's sites, but stay with us for now. Don't get distracted by that because you want to hear their answers. And stay present for now. You'll have plenty of opportunity now and throughout the event to pick up all of the free gifts from all of the speakers. So let's see here. Our next question comes in from Lori in St. Helena. Let's see, who am I on for the question? You men are keeping
Ken.
Track for me, right? Ken?
Ken's up to bat.
So glad you're all here to keep me on track. I'm so immersed in this experience, I can't stay on track. Okay.
Sure.
You say evolved men are out there. How can I shrink the gap between him and me? Then she says, also the evolved men I know are taken.
I love that question. And Carrie kind of touched on this earlier when he said, you know, he hears, oh, there aren't any men available on Kauai, and then there aren't in San Francisco, and there aren't in New York. And the grass is always greener someplace else. We all know this. So, first of all, they're not all taken. However, if you've decided what an evolved man looks like, he has to have done this, he has to have read these things, he has to go to this type of events, then you're limiting your opportunities. So I'm going to invite you and everybody listening, Lori and everybody else, change your point of view. Change the question you're asking. And what I mean by that is when you're meeting a guy and seeing if he seems like a good match, instead of doing what most all of us do, which is a very black and white approach, are they or aren't they, in this case, an evolved person? And you've got your checklist that makes him an evolved person. He's read a few of these books, he attends workshops, he meditates, whatever it is for you. Know that that's a very limited possibility set. The better question is ask, how is he an evolved person? Because when you ask that question, you open the door to possibilities beyond just the few examples you've experienced or seen in your life. And you'll be surprised by, wow, I never thought that's a really cool, he's evolved. Like, I would have never considered that. That's a way this guy's evolved, and it's really cool. I like it. You will start to expand the possibilities, which will help you to identify men that you were dismissing because they didn't match your little checklist before that are evolved. And you may actually find the way they're evolved, the way they do that, the way they show up, is better than the ways you were looking for. So shift your question. Not are there or aren't there evolved men in St. Helena. How are these men evolved? And you'll be amazed at what shows up.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Carrie, what would you like to add?
Beautiful response, Ken. I would like to add, again, looking at our self-limiting thoughts that then create feelings in our body. And then go to, you know, for you, Lori, to look at, you asked how to shrink the gap. I have a really quick answer. It's in you, babe. It's in you. You put out every time you go out, and wherever you are and going to get coffee or whatever, beep like a lighthouse. Your deep passion and love to be in a great relationship now. And I mean now, like you can meet the guy today by accident, bumping into him at the supermarket. Keep your eyes, ears, and your heart open to these possibilities. And then how do I do that? How do I maintain that and be so strong and passionate each and every day, each and every moment? If you have a thought that comes up that, oh, all the good men are taken, catch it and see, oh, thank you, my friend. You're reminding me to put in a thought right now that, like an anchor or an affirmation, I choose to meet a juicy man now. So this is what's being asked of you. See that it's the limited negative thought is actually trying to help you get where you want to go. And then there's the process there of turning your feelings inside out for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Carrie. So let's see. Dave.
Yes. This is Laurie in Florida, was it?
St. Helens.
Yeah.
St. Helens. Okay, got it. Okay, so your question is great. I love, you recognize there are evolved men. How do you narrow the gap? This is, I think, one of the first questions tonight that actually said, okay, I'm in control of this. I'm empowered by this. I can do something about this. So I think we're definitely narrowing the gap on where we want to be on the questions. So that's fantastic. And mm-hmm. I would turn it back and ask another question. You know what? If in your place, Laurie, you should ask the question, what are evolved men attracted to? Who do you need to be in order to get the attention and build attraction with an evolved man, the kind that you admire and appreciate and would like to have? So I'm going to give you like a little sort of metaphor, I guess. So if you, on a scale of 1 to 10, an evolutionary scale or evolvement, evolution, I guess you'd say. So if you're looking for an evolved man who is sort of navigating the world at like a good solid 9, like maybe meditates, maybe goes to the gym, maybe does, I don't know, as I think Carrie was saying, whatever that is to you, you will not meet, if you are like showing up, like if you haven't done your work to be evolved, like you're showing up in the world at maybe a 6 of evolved, and you're looking for a 10, the thing is he's probably going to overlook you because you're not on his level. So, but if you ask a better question, like what is an evolved man attracted to? It's someone else who has done the work to be evolved just like him. And so he will be attracted because what I'm saying is he's where you are. He's in your gym. He's walking down your street. He might be at your workplace. You know, he probably lives in, you know, in a building nearby or in your vicinity, but you will pass him. He might be in Starbucks next to you, but, you know, if there's not something that connects with him, that gets his attention, says, oh, my God, she looks like she's evolved just like me. She clearly, you know, is doing yoga, or she could, like, if you're wearing, like, a, you know, namaste shirt, he's like, oh, you must do yoga. So now he's got some reason to connect with you, or maybe there's something that you're doing will get his attention that says, hey, this is a woman who's evolved. Oh, hi, I didn't meet you in here before. You know, you're going to get his attention because you're actually doing what it takes to be evolved at the same level. And so he will be intrigued by that. And the point in saying it is not about a number system, but it's about, it's about doing your work to be at the same level, be what that person that you want is attracted to. The truth of the matter is, you know, if you're looking for, an elite athlete and superstar, but yet you can't be bothered to go to the gym every now and again or take care of yourself, there's probably not going to be a real connection there in terms of lifestyle, in terms of what you want, what's important to you, what are your values, what are your beliefs. So that's why you're interacting with those people every day, but there won't be attraction because there's not enough common ground for attraction to sort of take off. So, you know, be the change you want to see. You know, you want an evolved man, be an evolved woman, and he'll find you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Those were really great answers from all of you. Let's see. I just want to take this question from Mandy in Denver. She wrote me a little note saying, thank you so much. I just pulled over in my car so I can hear better. I want the VIP package. Do I have time to get home to get my credit card? Well, yes, the VIP package will be available at the pre-event rate until midnight Pacific time tonight. That's when this special will expire. And the packages will still be available at incredibly good pricing, but, yes, you will have time to get home and get it tonight. Okay, so let's see here. This is from Linda in Dallas. Who's up? Who's up
I'm
on base here?
Me.
Carrie. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one, Carrie.
All right.
I know a lot of women ask this. This is kind of a twofer question. How does a man fall in love, and what does he need for a romantic relationship to last? This is Linda in Dallas, a twofer question there.
Oh.
That's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. So, again, the question is how does a man
how
fall in
love? How does a man fall in love? That's first question, and she put an and in there, so we got two questions in here. What does he need for a romantic relationship to last? So I know you had a very long-term marriage, and I know you teach people about love, singles, couples all the time. So, yeah, here we go. The big question.
Gosh, sure. We're going to have a lot of richness here. Okay, so it's a great question. And I think that there's a lot of variety in how that all happens, in the pieces of the pie. You know, again, like it might be an initial contact, an initial interest that, again, all like the other gentlemen are speaking about today, there's a sense of support, a sense of interest and connection that we do have. And then, you know, pieces come together, you know, from the feeling of we're in a similar place in our life, a place of similar interests. Then emotionally connected and spiritually and then physically, that all those pieces come together. And I will say that slow down in general when we are physically active and intimate, that sets the course in the in our bodies differently. What I mean by that is we can get delusional after we've had some great physical intimacy with someone, meaning we're thinking we're really in love with them, but we really might not be yet. And so all the different neurons that get fired up in the brain open to our heart for both male and female. So what I'm saying is allow the relationship to evolve. It doesn't mean that you, and everyone does what they want to do, what they feel most comfortable with. But I will tell you this, ladies, don't rush into it. Go at your pace physically, because if a guy's into you, he'll wait if you feel like you want to wait to be physical with him. Okay, so again, the feeling of the love, it evolves, and it evolves by, again, going quickly over scouting, sorting, screening, and testing a relationship. And those things can happen pretty quickly in the essence of when you're seeing someone, you go, oh, okay, yeah, I feel like I'm interested in him. I kind of like him. So then you go to sorting phase, and then you go in a little bit deeper to find out more about him. Is there a chemistry here? Then in the screening phase, you know, where it could last from 2 to 4 weeks or so, you're watching how he reacts when we're going out to, or he, you know, again, he's going to watch too, because this is your question. how you respond to people when you're out publicly. Are you treat people in the restaurant kindly, or are you brusque with them? And then, of course, you know, the testing phase, how are you when challenges show up? Are you flustered really quickly? Do you yell and scream at him? Or are you, you know, kind of also going, okay, this is a little challenge, and okay, let's face this. So I don't think there's necessarily, and I'm waiting to hear what the other guys key in on, that there's any exact recipe for, quote, falling in love. Because it can happen in a blink of an eye, and it's happened to me that way. But I also want to say that those feelings of feeling in love with someone didn't always pan out, that the relationship after my wife has passed on and I'm in that dating phase and been with different people, I thought, like, I'm really in love with this person, and I was, but then through the testing process, I found they were not exactly in the place that I was really ready or wanting to be, or maybe myself. So it's a journey. And then the answer to, you know, how to stay in love, that's almost, in a sense, easy, is remember you're always dating. And remember that when you're dating someone, you're always putting your best foot forward to maintain that beautiful connection. Don't ever forget that. Stay in that juicy, desirous, want to offer, you know, look what you can do to the relationship and offer to the relationship rather than what the relationship can do for you. And if you come from that place and really of service and opening your heart to your man, you're going to stay in love. And don't worry about the challenges. They're going to happen. But in that, snuggle up to the challenges and work it out, as both Dave and Ken eloquently shared many ways of doing that here too today, that by doing that, it's going to deepen your connection. It's like two people that are in the war together and they've been in the trenches together. Those people sometimes have deeper relationships than when they're with their married partners because they've been to such challenging places. So don't be afraid of being in the challenge. Snuggle into it, work it, and just, again, putting out what you're wanting. So sorry for the long-winded response here, but I can't wait to hear what the other guys have to add.
Thank you, Carrie. And I'll put in a little plug here for you. You also might want to pick up Carrie's wonderful book on Amazon, In Love Forever, right? Did I get the title right?
Yeah.
I have it personally, and it's wonderful. That's how I met Carrie, was through his book. So that's fabulous, too. So you might want to pick that up as well. And I also really appreciated,
Michelle.
You're welcome. I also really appreciated what you just said also about the physical side of things, and a man will be willing to wait, and for a woman to take that at her pace of what she's comfortable with, because obviously that's a question that comes up so frequently, and we've had many questions centered around sex and how soon to have sex in a dating relationship here on the call. So with that having been said, though, we'll swing back to – oh, did you want to add, Carrie? Go
I just
ahead.
Wanted to add one other little thing there, because I was in a 24-year marriage. We went at different times, cycles up and down, of really connected, and there was a time when we were on the brink of divorce, and it kind of happened like, well, how did this happen? The point that I want to share is, again, don't worry about that happened. We were willing to look into it and grow from it. And because of that, this is the piece I wanted to share, Michelle. Because we were willing to do that, when we turned things around and then we're physical again, it was better than it ever was. And it was why? It was because emotionally we were willing to go there and heal the wounds that we both were carrying. And then because we were willing to do that, then physically we were like suction cups to each other. Like, what's going on here? And so I want to just say, again, ladies, there's hope. Even if, you know, you're in a relationship or in the future and it goes a little south or souring or whatever, loss of connection, you can regain it no matter what. Even with people that have had affairs. I've dealt with that too in the coaching. So if you're still, your heart is there, you can still find and recreate that love if you're both committed to that. So just wanted to know.
Thank you. Okay, so let's see. Dave, what do you want to add? How does a man fall in love, and what does he need for a romantic relationship to ask? I know this is a big question.
It is, but it's a great one. Again, what I love about the question is it presupposes she does understand that masculine and feminine have different strategies and, I guess, syntax and order and how they do it. So it is different. And so when you recognize that, you ask a good question, you can get a good answer. So specifically, one of the ways that so feminine tends to navigate by emotion, as I've said a few times, so it's usually going to be driven by feelings, things like excitement, desire, longing. You know, it's kind of about the fairy tale. It's like, you know, feeling like, oh my God, this is it. This is the moment. This is my prince. He adores me and everything's going to be great. And so it's magical and it's amazing and it's about all the colors. That's the beauty of the feminine too, is it brings all the color to life. Whereas, you know, masculine, left to its own devices, it's so busy being analytical and logical, it's going to miss out on probably the really great, juicy stuff in life because it's so focused on solving problems, fixing things, creating value, you know, being economic and not wasting effort and all that kind of thing. So masculine is going to fall in love. He's going to probably ask good questions. He's going to say, is she the one? Is this a good decision? Is she someone I don't want to live without? Does she make my life better just being in it? He's going to sort of think about that, and he's going to come from that place, and it's a metric. He's weighing and measuring, and he's saying, is my life better with this woman in it? And, you know, Carrie brought up some really great point about sex. A lot of times men discover love through sex, whereas for a true feminine to be ready and prepared for that, she needs to first feel safe and then feel at least, you know, loved enough to be prepared for that if she's in feminine. Now, in masculine, she can probably go compete with him on the same level if she's more. And we all have both energies, to be fair. When I talk about masculine and feminine, it's about an energy. It's not about a gender. When I talk, he mentioned that it's probably a good idea to hold off on that. And the reason has nothing to do with morality. The example that I give is if you look at it from like a, you know, common sense corner, thinking about this, people respect and appreciate what they had to work for. But if something is given away freely and easily and they didn't have to do a damn thing for it, they're going to be like, it's no big deal. Comes along easily and often it's not special. So they, you know, if you had to work hard to lose that weight and get down to your ideal weight, then you're going to really appreciate what goes into it, you know. And like, you know, my grandson, if I throw, every time he sees me, I give him a handful of bills. You know, if I give him money every time he sees me, I'm conditioning him to think me as the guy that's just going to throw him money. But if he works for it or something like that, he's going to appreciate it a lot more. And that's human nature. We appreciate what we had to work for. So, again, it's not about morality. It's about people are always deciding who you are and what it means. And if you're going to throw it around out there and you're going to allow someone to get the very best of you without having to do anything for it, then they can't possibly do the math and add it up. Like, wow, that was really valuable. That was really incredible. They're going to feel like it was no big deal. And that's a terrible place to put yourself. Again, it's not about morality. It's just like he is going to add up your value, and a lot of times it's not going to add up in your favor because he's looking at it from a different place. He's looking at it from how special is that. And so as far as your second question about what does it take for a romantic relationship to last with a man, you know, again, it goes down to those questions that I was talking about. He just needs to know that, you know, he has a chance to be your hero. And he can be appreciated and respected for who he is. He's just really looking for someone who gets him and, you know, gives him the benefit of the doubt because he will mess up. He will make mistakes. He will do the wrong thing sometimes. But can you be generous about it, or are you emasculating about it? Are you, you know, relentless about it? Are you unforgiving about it? You know, but if you're generous and kind, you know what you want, you set your boundaries, you have, you know, high standards, but yet you're also forgiving, kind and understanding, you know, if you ride that balance in between both, he's going to know that he's got an amazing woman who's done her work and who is in a good place. So I think that answers your question, Linda.
Thank you very much, Dave. And I just want to say I agree with you. There are some very practical reasons that you talked about why you might want to wait to get sexually involved and intimate with a man. And you may actually have some personal beliefs around this or some religious beliefs around that, whatever is right for you. But I think the main point here about the physical side of things is to be self-honoring and to place an incredibly high value upon yourself and to recognize that you are a woman of value that is worth waiting for, and the right man will appreciate and respect you for it, and he's unlikely to go anywhere if he's the right guy for you. So let's see, Ken, I want to give you a chance to touch on this too.
Thank you. Yeah, this is an enormous question. I think we could have spent the whole night on it.
For sure.
And Linda, I'd like to take a little liberty with your question, which is, I'm not sure what you're wanting to know is how a man falls in love, but you're wanting to know what a man falls in love with. And I get this question a lot, like, what do we have to do for a man to fall in love with us? And the answer is, what allows a man to love you is being trusted. And it's kind of an interesting situation because typically the belief is he has to earn my trust. Well, then we're at loggerheads. This isn't going anywhere. And it's very common for women to say, you know, oh, I'm going to play it safe. And play it safe is really code for hiding the good stuff. That's really what you mean when you say you're playing it safe. I'm not going to tell them anything specific or good or really interesting about me. I'm going to be generic because then there's no exposure. I'm not vulnerable. I'm not at risk. And I have to tell you, from a man's point of view, that's not interesting. See, every single woman listening to this, Linda and everybody else, you have distinctive characteristics. You've got unique gifts, unique needs, unique quirks. And those unique aspects of you are what make you desirable. See, those are the pieces and the parts of you that make you so endearing and so interesting to a man that he's going to risk loving you. Now, what I've learned from doing this work is a lot of women don't understand that, you don't realize that anytime a man contacts you about, you know, getting together in some way, like on a dating site, or they ask you out in person, he's taking a risk, and that risk is the risk of being rejected. So you need to show up in a way that makes it worth that risk. See, that's what makes you stand out from the crowd. And the thing is, you want to do that more than just once to get his attention. It's more than just showing up enough to get his attention so that he asks you out on a date. It's showing up so you have him interested in going from the first date to the second date to an exclusive relationship to a lifelong relationship to committing to you, right? So what he's looking for is you. Not you generically, you uniquely. Because when you really show up, then there's something to be loved. When you don't show up, there's whatever. You're invisible. Because it's what makes you distinctive is what makes you precious. And you need to own that for yourself first. And then bring it forward. Share it with the people around you. Because that gives you the opportunity to be recognized as somebody who's not normal, who's not average. See, the truth is, if you look up the definition of normal, it means, you know, average, common, expected. And that's not any one of you. Not one of you is average. The more you recognize that value, the beauty, and the joy that comes from you being your best expression, not only is that what allows you to be loved and lets a man fall in love with you, it also makes the world a better place. So that's my thoughts on your question.
Wow, I love that. That was beautiful from all of you. And I just want to, before we wrap up for tonight, I'm going to let all of the men have a last parting thought. But before we do that, I just want to thank all of you for being here with us. We have hundreds of women on the event, and you've all stayed through like the whole thing. Pretty much everyone has stayed through the whole thing. So I can tell that you're really interested in this, and we'll have to do another manathon again sometime, because I can tell that it's really, really resonating with you. I'm getting so many comments and messages of appreciation and so many questions that are so great that I apologize we didn't get to tonight, because we literally have had hundreds of questions come through. So I know this is something that you're all really valuing. And I want us all, again, to just send some really yummy, loving energy to our three male experts tonight, because they have been awesome. And I know that what they've shared has probably helped and inspired and given you hope and giving you some clarity and has been a blessing in your life. That has been our mutual intention. And I also want to thank all of you who have chosen to upgrade to the VIP packages. Once again, make sure you get it tonight while it's on the pre-event special. You can scroll down on the page that you're listening to on the webcast, and or go to readyfortherightguy.com/VIP. So it's been my honor to be here with you, and I'm so grateful for your presence. And I just want to let our three male experts have a last parting thought. Who would like to go first? Men?
I'll jump in.
Harry, thank you.
First of all, thank you, Shel, for doing this, and it's been such a joy. I've learned so much, you know, from everything being shared here. Thank you, Ken and Dave. It's been fantastic for me, so thank you both. And the piece I want to share goes back to our good friend Yoda, who said, young Jedi, do or don't. There is no try. So, ladies, get all into it, into a relationship. Forget whatever's happened that's of the past. Today in this moment is a new moment. And so when you are committed and dedicated to take the action to create the loving relationship in yourself and to create that with a partner to be, you will create it. You will create it. Okay, so to know that, and it's on its way, and the divine, however level you connect with the divine, is wanting to help you create what you're wanting. And so therefore, at whatever interest you have with the divine, I say call forth that more and ask the divine to help you manifest, create your heart's desires, and do ask for it now. Even though it may take some time for it to happen, you will start engaging in that, and it will happen. You will transform any sense of loneliness into a connection, especially, making your connection with the divine in whatever way you do that. So I just wanted to share that. And that comes from my own personal experience. As a kid, all I wanted was to be happy, and all I was miserable. And I had such a lack of confidence and lack of self-esteem, and wanted a connection with the divine. And it just always seemed just unreachable until simply making some small connections to phone call the divine and say, hey, I'm hurting. Can you help? And the divine's like, sure. How can I help? So thanks for listening. It's been an honor and a joy to be here, and thank you for having me, Michelle.
Oh, thank you, Carrie. That was beautiful. And that connection with the divine has been a part of my own journey as well, so I appreciate you mentioning that. Okay, who wants to go next, Ken or Dave?
I can go, or I can defer to my brother.
Ken. Okay, since you spoke out there, go right ahead, Dave.
Awesome. Well, I just want to thank all the ladies who showed up, stayed on this call, and they showed up and they were open and vulnerable. They were willing to learn. They were asked great questions. They committed to get better. I just honor you for doing that. And I'm telling you, if there is a recipe for success, that what you're looking for, that's it. Like, you're there. Keep going. You've got this. And I really wish for you all the love you truly deserve. I honor people that step up and do the work and not just wish and hope, that you're doing the work. And that means showing up here. And that means, you know, playing full out and doing what you're doing. So I so honor you for doing that. And you know, from my new brother, Carrie and Ken. Like, I haven't gotten a chance to know you as well prior to now. Ken has reached out. We're connected on Facebook just today. Carrie, I look forward to getting to know you even better. I honor you guys for what you're doing and what you brought tonight. It was excellent. And Michelle, without you, this wouldn't be happening. So I have an idea of what this takes, and you've done it four times now. And I just honor you for the way you show up and the professionalism and the ability to help other people shine and to give their gifts so that we can help others. So, my God, I just thank you also. And I want to recognize you for what you've done to make this all happen. It's amazing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Touched my heart. And by the way, dozens and dozens of thank yous, and you've given me hope, and what a blessing, and I love you guys. All are coming through on my messages here, so you're getting a lot of love back too, men. Okay, so let's see. Ken, you wanna wrap us up here with your closing thoughts?
Sure. Well, first thing I want to say is this has been an amazing privilege. It's been a privilege to field these questions, to be received and recognized and appreciated the way you have has been amazing. And Michelle, your amazing professionalism and expertise at putting these events together and bringing these venues to people all over the world is such an incredible gift. Thank you for doing that and for inviting all of us to be a part of it. And to my new brothers, Dave and Carrie, awesome. This is like just such an incredible experience to be able to share this space with you. And I feel safe in saying I speak for all of us when to you ladies, we love you. And we love you because you're lovable. Not because you're giving us a platform and feeding our egos. You're lovable down to your core. And the sooner you embrace that and know that and walk with your head high and live it, that's how soon Mr. Wright will show up. So I will hold that space for every single one of you. It can happen as soon as you hold the space, as soon as you believe it at your core. And walk in that light, and it will happen.
Wow, beautiful. Wow, I really felt the power of all of your closing thoughts here. And I love you, too. I love you, ladies. This is an offering that I've put my heart and soul into with the intention of blessing your life. And whether or not you can attend any more of the event, I hope you will. Whether or not you get the VIP package, I hope you will. Our intention tonight has been to bless your life, and we're so grateful for your presence, and you are to be complimented for showing up. And I just think this has been amazing, too, and we'll definitely do another manathon again in the future. So for now, we'll say good night. We're all sending you lots of love and blessings. We thank you for your presence, and we hope to see you on more of Ready for the Right Guy. Bye-bye for now. Good night.
Bye. Thank you all.